Today's show in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samach Hey. We begin on Samach Hey with Aleph, four lines on the top with the two dots. And we quote the following Braisa, Tanu Rabbanan, Nises L'Rishon. If a woman married her first husband, they lived together for 10 years, did not have children, V'lohi L'Banim, then she gets married to a second husband. She gets divorced from her first husband, and she marries a second husband, L'Sheni, and again, they lived together for 10 years, V'lohi L'Banim, so now she gets divorced from the second husband. So she wants to get married to a third husband. We discussed this already in the Mishnah and in our Shir yesterday. So if she wants to get married to the third husband, she can't get married to a husband that doesn't have children, who hasn't been Makai the Mitzvah Peruvo, because after two times it's been established, according to Rebbe, the Chazaka, that she is a woman that cannot have children. And therefore, a man who has not yet been Makai the Mitzvah of Pru or Vo, period of Rivia, will not be able to go and marry her. If the third husband, however, has had children, so then he's no longer as obligated, as we discussed in great detail 2 shiurim ago, in the mitzvah of period of Rivia, so he could marry a woman that is no longer able to have children. A man who's in his 60s is allowed to marry a woman in her 60s, even though she's obviously not going to have children, she's post-menopause, that's not a problem. If he's been kind of the mitzvah of period of Rivia, so that's not a problem at all. Now, Nisei Slamisha ain't love bottom. If in fact, however, she got married to somebody third time now and is married to somebody who doesn't have children, so he's not yet been Makai in the midst of a period of Erivia, Teitse below Ksuba. The husband has to divorce her, and Tosos in Diramaso Teitse below Ksuba points out this has to be done immediately. As you see, four lines into the Tosos Teitse where it says, Lekach Nira Lari de la Alter Teitse. Shalom b'ksuba, that she goes out immediately. Now, Tosus also points out that we're dealing over here with a woman, and you see this two, three lines from up from the end of the Tosus Teitze. He says, "L'chein motza ri b'hilchos d'Rav Yehuda Goyin de'below hikir bo'ayri." We're talking about that he had no knowledge that her first two marriages had ended without her having children, that she wasn't capable of having children based upon that chazaka. Aval hikir bo. But if she, in fact, did not misrepresent herself in any way, shape, or form, and he knew that she couldn't have children, so then he is obligated to divorce her or take another wife, as we'll discuss also later in today's year. But in this situation, she's entitled to a ksuba because she didn't mislead him in any way, shape, or form. Now, Tosus also points out that we're dealing here that she didn't have children beforehand, because if she had children beforehand, so obviously she's not the problem, and he would be allowed to go and marry her. Now, we just scratched the surface on this. There are many, many, many very interesting sugyas in this discussion, but again, we have to go weiter. So the Gemara now asks the following shaila. Yibayilu, they answer the base medrash, Nisei slashlishi v'lohi l'abonim ma'udeliz be'uha hanach kamoi. We just had said that the first husband had to give her a ksuba after living together 10 years without children. The second husband had to give her a ksuba after living together without 10 years without children. Now, the third husband, he clearly didn't have children with her as well. We're dealing now here with a case where she lived with him for 10 years and didn't have children. They didn't follow the halacha that Tosfos just brought down that you have to get divorced right away. And they lived together for 10 years without having children. And Beis Din forces her to get divorced. So in this situation, Mahu, can the second husband and the first husband go and now come back and say, hey, you clearly were the problem because after this third husband, you also didn't have children after living together for 10 years, so we want our ksuba back that we gave you because you weren't entitled to it. We see clearly that you are the problem. So the Gemara says, what are the two sides of the coin over here? Do we say, me, Matsui, Amre, Le, they can say to her, Igloi, Milsa, the Atu, the Garam, O Dilma, Matsus, Amre, Amroluhu, Hashtahu de Kachashi. So these are the two sides of the coin. Can they say to her, it's now clear in retrospect, after the third husband that you lived with for 10 years didn't have children, that you are the problem. And therefore, we were inappropriately paying you the ksuba, and we want our money back. Or can she say to them, no, I was perfectly fertile until now. And it's only Hashta now, Hu de Kachashi. No, I'm getting on in years. A woman in every decade of life becomes less fertile. So In her 20s, she's more fertile than she's in her 30s, which is far, far more fertile than she is in her 40s. So she can say, listen, I live with you for 10 years, and now I'm premenopausal. Of course, I'm not going to have children at this point in time, but that doesn't mean that I couldn't have had children before, and then it was your fault. So these are the two possibilities. How do we paskin? So the word says, Mistabrit, makes sense to say, Matsus omra lehu hashtahu dekohoshi. Makes sense to say that she is entitled to keep the ksubas from the first two husbands because she can say to them, I was perfectly fertile when I was younger, and the fact that I'm not fertile right now is because I'm older right now, I've gotten weaker right now, and therefore that's the only reason why I didn't have children with a third husband, but if I had married him 20 years ago, we would have had lots of children. The Gemara asks another question of the base manager, Shibayalu, they ask the following shayla, Nises L'Ravi. Now, she got divorced from the third husband, and she marries another man. And this man had children before him, no problems whatsoever, and she has children with him. V'ayu love banim. She has now children. She's clearly demonstrated that she's not the problem. So, from the first and second husband, she got a ksuba, but from the third husband, we said, teitzei v'lo ksubasa. She wasn't entitled to get her ksuba. So, can she now go back retroactively to the third husband and say, can I have my ksuba now? Clearly, I wasn't the problem. Mahu ditizbi'e lishlishi. Can she go to the third husband and say, you owe me the ksuba? Proof is, I've had children, so I'm not the problem. So Gemara says, no, we tell her, better to be silent, better not to say anything. Amrina lo shtikusech yofa midiburech. It is much better for you to be quiet, still. Don't say anything. It's far better for you than you're talking now and saying, I want my ksuba. Because this person who divorced you, the third husband who divorced you, only divorced you on the assumption that you could not have children. If it turns out that that was a false assumption, that that was incorrect, he's going to say, I retroactively am mavato my get to you. And I had no intention of giving you again if you could have children. The Motz Yarmulu, he could then say to her, listen, I know I died to the Hachi. I only divorced you because this is what I thought were the circumstances. Based upon the fact that you couldn't have children, I divorced you. If I had known that you could have had children, lo gerashtich, I never would have divorced you. And therefore, in retrospect, he could passel their get. If he passels her the get that he gave her, she's still an ashes to the third husband. So then when she has children with the fourth husband, that marriage technically didn't occur. And therefore, the child created from such a relationship is actually a mamzer. So therefore, the Gemara says, shtikusech, yofa midiburech. Much better for you to be silent than not say anything, because, yeah, maybe you could tidy to get your ksuba, but you're going to turn your child into a mamzer. Now, how exactly could this divorce be retroactively nullified? We'll have to also leave for another time. Bottom line is that the Gemara is suggesting that that certainly would be a possibility. Now, the Gemara says, wait a second, if this is in fact the case, that if he had known this, he never would have divorced her, so even if we tell her, shush, shtikusech yofa midiburech, so we can tell her to be silent, but how can we as a base to be silent? Maskev la rapapa, rapapa says, wait a second, shoska anan mishaskinan. Wait a second, even if we tell her, better for you to be silent, how can we sit by and be silent? If after all, the bottom line is that this was now a get that was not a valid get. Nimso get batel ubanel mamzerin. How could we just sit silently by if we know that these are the facts? If, in fact, the get would be batel because she had a child with the fourth husband, so then retroactively it means that the third divorce was not a real divorce. And therefore, that marriage to the fourth husband never really halachically occurred because she was an Eishes Ish. She can't marry an Eishes Ish, and therefore the children are mamzerin. So what's the answer to that? So the Gemara says, Elo Amrina, we say, it's only something happened now. Miracle occurred, an ace occurred, the zchusim of this fourth husband, he allowed her to have children. But Taka, she was infertile with the third husband, and it was her problem, halachically speaking, and therefore, we don't, as a basedin, force ourselves to go and say that the get is a retroactively null and void get, and she's still an ashes ish, and the child is a mamzer. And that's why Basedin isn't obligated to do this. Likewise, we tell her, shush, don't say anything because it can only lead to trouble for you. Another question was raised in the Beis Medrash. I don't know why this one doesn't start off with you, Boy Elohu. In any way, it says, Hu amar mina. The husband claims that the reason why they don't have children is because of her. As Rashi says, Yodea ani shemach mosa. I am certain, I am convinced, I know that it's because of her. Hu she'en li banim. Because of her, I do not have children. And therefore, she's not entitled to a ksuba, lo atein ksuba, and I'm not going to pay her a ksuba. She times the exact opposite. He, Amra, the woman says, no, minei, it's because of you that we can't have children, and therefore I'm entitled to the ksuba. Mepharshim are talking here, they all explain that she's not asking for a get. Basedin is either forcing it or he is saying, I want to divorce you because you don't have children. She is not at all interested in having this get, and therefore she is entitled to get her ksuba based upon the fact that she says, it's your fault that we don't have children, not my fault. Amar Ravami. Ravami says, how do we pask him? Devarim shebino lebeino nemenes. This is a private matter between her and her husband, and the woman is believed in these situations. Why? The time of my, how come she's believed? He says it's your fault, and she says it's his fault. And he says, she says, how come she's believed? So the Gemara says, because she can state with certainty, he kaima la biyora kichetz. She is certainly able to distinguish that whether he can, in fact, have the zera come out like an arrow. As Rashi says, the very bottom lines of Rashi, kol shichva zera sheina yorek kechetz in a mizras. Any zera that comes out from the man that doesn't come out strong, it doesn't come out like an arrow shooting out of a bow, will not be capable of making a woman fertile. And she can ascertain, when they're having relations, that the zera is not coming into her like a chaitz. So therefore, she is believed. He apparently doesn't have the ability to state that with any certainty, and the Gemara is working on the assumption that she does, and therefore, she is believed in this situation. Dvarim shebeino leveino, she is nemenes, and she's entitled to a ksuba. Gemara continues with this discussion and says, what happens if the husband says, listen, I'll prove that I'm correct, let's do an experiment. Amar Ihu, the husband says, Azel, I will go in Siv and marry its another woman, and then we'll see the Ibdov Nafshai, and we'll go and check. If I have children with this other woman, so then obviously I'm not the problem, and she's the problem, and she's not entitled to a ksuba. If we don't have children, the Mefarshim say, how long do you have to wait? A certain period of time, a longer period of time, so the different opinions, how long you have to wait. In any event, whatever the trial period would be, in modern medicine, we usually say that if a couple has regular, normal relations without any birth control, and they don't get pregnant within a year, so that's considered that they have a potential problem with infertility, and they need to usually get an evaluation at that point in time, although, of course, sometimes, Baruch Hashem, even after a year, they'll get naturally pregnant. But in any event, the Gemara here doesn't ascertain how much time there would be. Some suggest you have to wait 10 years. He would marry a second woman and wait 10 full years, and then, if after that period of time, it's clear that he's the problem. So, the Gemara is now not telling us the time, but the man is saying, let's do a trial and experiment. I'll get married to a second woman, and we'll see if and when I have children. So that's what he wants to do. So again, Rav Ami responds and says, no, I'm Rav Ami, af bazu, even in this situation, he's saying, listen, I'll prove that I'm right. No, yotzi v'yiting suba. He has to go and divorce her immediately, la'alter, and this is after the 10 years, and he has to divorce, or he could technically marry another wife. But he has to give her her ksuba if he's going to divorce her. Why? Because Rav Ami says, Sha'ani Omer, kol hanosa isha al ishto, yotzi viti ksuba. He doesn't have the right to go and marry a second wife. He has to go and give her her ksuba at this point in time. He has to divorce her and give her a ksuba. Now this is, of course, assuming that the woman doesn't agree to this. If the woman, minadin, minatori, man's allowed to have more than one wife. It's only, as we mentioned many times, for Ashkenazim, from the time of Rabbeinu Gershom, Meor HaGola. So he had put into place, which is still the normative halachic practice amongst Ashkenazim, that you never have two wives at the same time. So therefore, unless the first wife agrees that you can take in a second wife, if she says, no, I don't want you to take a second wife, so then, if they lived together for 10 years and didn't have children, again, based upon the assumption at the time of the Gemara, that this is the halacha l'maisa, as we mentioned already many times, today this is not the halacha l'maisa. You don't have to divorce your wife in this situation for various reasons. The bottom line is here, however, if she doesn't want him to take a second wife, then he must divorce her and give her her ksuba. That's Rav Ami's opinion. Rava disagrees. Rav Amar, no. No se'odim kama noshim alishto, v'hu is lay l'miz Zaininhi, as long as he is able to support them, a man is entitled to go take a second wife, even against the wishes of his first wife. Gemara continues to return to Samachei Amud Beis. Who, Omar, the man says to his wife, we're dealing here with a situation where they lived together for 10 years and Ebuch did not have children, and the Beis is saying, divorce your wife and go marry a second woman. So the Gemara says, he says, no, the 10 years is not an accurate count. Why? Because ifless Bego Esser. He says, my wife miscarried during this 10-year period of time. He tells her, listen, 5 years ago you miscarried. So therefore, as we pointed out in the Mishnah, that restarts the clock. And therefore, we're only 5 years, for example, in my case, into not having children. And we have another 5 years to be together before the 10 years are up. Because if you have a miscarriage, that starts the 10-year clock. And she disagrees. The Yomra, lo ifless. She says, no, listen, you're wrong. You're mistaken. I never miscarried. And the 10 years are up, and if Beis Din is forcing you to divorce me at this point in time, then I'm entitled to my kesubah. And the clock didn't start 5 years ago. The clock started 10 years ago. How do we pass in this situation? So again, Rav Ami says, I'm Rav Ami, af bezuhi nemenes. In every case, Rav Ami says, the woman is believed. Why is she believed in this case? A very simple, rational argument. Because the emisa de pila, nafsho biakarta lo mechaska. So he says, because if this woman, in fact, miscarried, she'd be the first one to say, hey, I miscarried, because then she wouldn't have the status of being an akara. As Rashi says over here, by her stating that she didn't miscarry, she's essentially saying, elo akarani. She's saying, I'm a barren woman. And that will definitely diminish her likelihood of getting married to a new husband. A man who wants to have children is not going to be interested in marrying her. So by her stating that I didn't have a miscarriage, she's essentially stating that she's an akara. And therefore, why would any woman want to have that status attached to her unless it were true? So this woman's an honest, derelicha woman. She says, no, listen, I never did miscarry. You're mistaken. And therefore, she is believed over the husband. When the husband says, you miscarried 5 years ago and we restarted the clock then. And she says, no, I did not. So she is believed, according to Rav Ami, based upon that reasoning. Another situation, Ipila, if the woman in fact miscarried, and then Nebuch v'chazra v'ipila, and then she miscarried again. And then Nebuch v'chazra v'ipila, she miscarried again. So we have three times here. This is a chazaka according to everybody. After three times, it's definitely a chazaka. So then the Gemara states, huchzuka l'nefalim. She is considered to be a woman who Nebuch is going to miscarry. Medically speaking, we do know that sometimes women can have a predilection or a tendency towards Nebuch miscarrying. So in this situation where she miscarried three times without having any children in between, so then she is considered a mapelis, a woman that Nebuch cannot carry to term her babies, and therefore the husband must divorce her as well. It's no different than if they go 10 years without having children. Here they went three times with a miscarriage. Well, the first time it would have restarted the 10-year clock. The second time it would have restarted the 10-year clock. But now, after three times, she's muchzekes to be a mapelis. And therefore, her husband has to divorce her, or again, he could take a second wife while she is still his wife. So the Gemara says, "Hu amar apilo trei." The husband said his wife miscarried not three times, but only two times. And she's honest. He amra plus she says, "No, I actually miscarried three times." So how do we pass it in this situation? We follow the husband, we follow the wife. So again, to complete the series, we follow the wife in every single case. Amar Yitzchak ben Elazar. Of the Havav Bei Midrasha, that once was such a mice that it came to the Beis Din. Husband says she miscarried twice, and she says she miscarried three times. The Amru he Mehemna. The Beis Din Paskin, like Rav Ami had Paskin three times, the Beis Din also Paskin over here in this case, that she is believed, and she would be required to be divorced, as a husband has not yet been Mekayim the Mitzvah period of Arivia, so he'd either have to take a second wife with her, or if she didn't want that, he would have to go and divorce her, and she is believed because she says that she miscarried three times, so she's muhsekis to be a mapelis. So the Gemara says, why is she believed? The imisa, the lo apla, because if in fact she hadn't miscarried the third time, so then why would she want to be known as a woman who's a mapelis? Again, it's going to definitely diminish her chances of getting married again, because a man who wants to have children would not be interested in marrying a mapelis. So therefore, nafsho benefile lo masaka. If in fact she was lying, she's hurting herself. So if she says, I had three miscarriages, it wasn't true, she's actually hurting herself because now she's going to be in my palace. She's going to be halachically considered a woman that can't have children. And therefore, nobody who wants children would want to marry her. So she's actually hurting herself by this claim. So therefore, the based in Paskin that she is believed. Okay. We go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah begins and tells us, Hoyish mitzuva alperi v'rivya avaloa isha. This is an opinion that we pass like lahalocha. And I mentioned this already many times. Somewhat of a paradox. A man is obligated in pru or vu, in peri of arivia, but, again, very paradoxically, a woman is not. And as I also mentioned previously, it's good to repeat it in case somebody didn't hear it the first time. My Rabbeim taught me that that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put such a strong maternal instinct in women to want to have children, because technically they could say, listen, I don't want to have children. I'm not a mitzvah for me to have children. I'm not commanded in the mitzvah of peri of arivia, and therefore, I'm going to abstain. I'm going to take birth control. I'm going to do something to myself that will not allow me to have children. So therefore, the maternal instinct, the desire so much to have a child was put into women so that they would help the man to fulfill the mitzvah period of Rivia. Now this is the halacha l'maisa. This is the opinion that the Chachamim bring down that's accepted. However, the Mishnah does bring down the opinion that I mentioned of Reb Yochanan ben Brocha. So Reb Yochanan ben Brocha disagrees. Omer, he says, Al Shneyem Omer, the Pasuk in Bereishis, where man is commanded to fulfill the mitzvah, period of Arivia, says to both men and women. By Yavarach Osam Elokim, Ayom Olem Elokim, Peru Orivu. That seems to be a straightforward pasuk that says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told both Adam and Chava, go out into the world, and as they say, be fruitful and multiply, do the mitzvah of Peru Orivu. So, we have a machlokis, a chamin, only men, Rav Yochanan Baruch Hu, men and women. So Gemara says, we see clearly where Rav Yochanan Baruch Hu got his shita, he said the pasuk, Minohani Mili. Where do we see that men are only mechuyev according to the Rabbanan? So I'm a Rabbi Eloi, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Eloi says in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar, who is the son of Rabbi Shimon, Amakra, the pasuk says, this is the same pasuk that Rabbi Yochanan Baruch Hu just brought down in the Mishnah, Baruch Hu Samalokim, Vayom Lehem Lokim, Pru or Vu. But here we have Umilu es ha'aretz v'kiv shua. It's from the second part of the pasuk that the Chachamim bring their shita. It says that you shall fill up the world v'kiv shuha. So who goes and conquers the world v'kiv shuha? Ish darku lichbosh. The ein isha darku lichbosh. So the pasuk qualifies what seems to be Rav Yochanan of a broke shita that Hashem is speaking to both Adam and Chava. So yes, he's speaking to both Adam and Chava because you need two to tango, as they say. You need to have a husband and a wife to have children. Your husband can't say, I'm going to be Mekai, I need Mukha Mekai, the mitzvah Puruvu, and Akosh Baruch Hu, give me a child. It doesn't work that way. Akosh Baruch Hu set up the relationship between a man and a woman. They should be married and have children. So therefore, Akosh Baruch Hu did tell Adam and Chava, but the one who's commanded in the mitzvah is only the one that is obligated in the Chiv Shua. You should go out and conquer the world. So Ish Darko Lichvosh, the Ein Isha Darko Lichvosh. So therefore, the Chacham hold that this statement of Pru Avu only is applicable min hadin to the husband. He's the one that's mechuyev. But it says, Adraba, what are you talking about? The exact opposite. The Chiv Shua is plural. It says, Umilu esar, it's you go out and fill up the land, and you both, the Chiv Shua, you go out and conquer it. Rav Yochanan Baruch Hu says, what are you talking about, Chachamim, that the Chiv Shua is only for the man and not for the woman? It's a plural lashon. So therefore, the Chiv Shua, tarte mashma, it implies that both of them, the man and the woman. Shmuel says, no. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, look at the way the word is spelled. It doesn't have a vav. It doesn't have the kubutz male. It doesn't have the word spelled chaf veis shin vav hey. Instead, it spells it the kavsha siv. That word, the kavsha, we give primacy to the way that it is written, and therefore, the implication is only the man, the kavsha siv, only the man has to go out. And all the plural words beforehand are just to say, obviously, that the woman needs to be involved. But the obligation, the mitzvah, according to Chachamim, is only on the man, and this is, in fact, the way we paskin. Rabbi Yosef gives us a different source. This was the first source that we gave us from the Kivshua, the Kavsha. Rabbi Yosef Amihoch, he says, look at the words. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yaakov, Vayom Elo Elokim, Ani Kel Shaddai, Perei Urvei. So, Yaakov Avinu is said by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you go out and have children. Lo Kamar Puruvu. He doesn't say, Yaakov, you and your wives go out and have children. So they're using the Lashon Yochid for just Yaakov, and therefore that, Rav Yosef says, is the source that the man is obligated and the woman is not obligated in the mitzvah of Puruvu. I should point out that the dikduk proper way to pronounce Piriyah V'Rivya is Priya Urivya. But the vernacular usage, the way I was always taught by my Rebbeim, was Piriyah V'Rivya. I do hear more Medakdek Rabbanim and people from Eretz Yisrael, they often do refer to it as Priya Urivya, but I'll fall back on the vernacular usage that I'm used to, Piriyah V'Rivya. Another memra from the Amar Rabbi Eloi, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Eloi said the name of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. This is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. This is Rabbi Elazar, who was the son of Rabbi Shimon, the one from the cave. Well, he and his father were in the cave for 12 years, and then an additional year. So Rabbi Eloi said over in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, the following. Kishem shemitzvah lodom lomar dover hanishma, kach mitzvah lodom shelo lomar dover she'eno nishma. This is from this week's Parsha, Ocheach Tochiach Esam Yisecha. At least in Chutz Laaretz, it's from Parsha's Kedoshim. In Eretz Yisrael, you read it up to Emor. But this idea that you have to give tochacha to people is only under certain circumstances. And Rabbi Eloi says the name of Rabbi Elazar Shimon, that just like there's a mitzvah to do, hocheach tochiach esam yisecha, that sometimes you have to go and tell a person something and give him tochacha, but that's only in a situation, kishem shemitzah lo dom lomad dover hanishma, if the person will listen to you. The Gemara has elsewhere three machlokas as to how far you have to go, Rav Shmuel or Rav Yochanan, how far you have to go before you no longer obligate the mitzvah tochacha. Do they just have to say stop? Do they have to get angry at you? Or do they have to actually hit you before you have to stop doing the mitzvah of tochacha? We're not going to get into that machlokas right now. But the bottom line is that you have a mitzvah to go and give people tochacha if they'll listen to it. However, if you know that they won't listen to it, there's a mitzvah not to give tochacha in that situation. If you know the person is not going to listen to you, then you have a mitzvah not to go and bother them and say them because it's just going to irritate them and it's just going to lead Rachmona Lislan to fighting. That is what Rabbi Eloy taught in the name of the Lord's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Abba adds and he says, Omer, chova, not only is it a good idea, it's a mitzvah, it's an obligation not to tell people things that they're not going to listen to you for. Now, we're often held accountable because we assume that they're not going to listen to us, but in fact they are going to listen to us. We sell ourselves short. So again, how you apply this is Lamaisa a different discussion. But Rabbi Abba says, if you know for a fact that they're not going to listen to you, then it's a chova, not just a good idea. It's an obligation not to go give them tochach in that situation. And this is based upon the pasuk that we have from Mishlei, where it says, Shenemar al tochach leitz, don't go and give tochach to a leitz, a scoffer, a person who always makes fun. Pen yisnecha, because he's going to hate you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want Jews to hate each other. But instead give the tochacha to a Talmud Chacham, because the Talmud Chacham always wants to improve himself. He says, no, tell me how I can be better. The Vilna Gaon, who's greater than the Vilna Gaon, would go to the Magid Midublin and ask him to give him tochacha every year before the Yomim Noroim. Because the Vilna Gaon, the Aveka, he will love you if you give him tochacha. I always say, in the medical field, a doctor should never yell at a nurse or somebody else that points out maybe you're doing something wrong. You should thank them. You should be especially happy that you didn't hurt a patient. Same thing over here. Talmud Chacham is doing something wrong. He doesn't realize it. Another Talmud Chacham comes up to him and says, listen, you know, the din is this, or you should change your habits or practice because you're doing something incorrectly. So the Talmud Chacham give him a big kiss. I say this all the time to people in shul. They get upset. Somebody points out that the tefillin shel rosh is not in the right place. You should thank him because you're not fulfilling the mitzvah and your tefillin shel rosh is off askew a little bit. Nobody should be upset that somebody says, oh yeah, your tefillin are even worse. No, you should be happy that the person's giving you tochacha. So that's the way it is. A person who's not interested in tochacha, he's a leitz, so don't give him tochacha sometimes. It's inappropriate because he's going to be upset. Whereas a Talmud Chacham who wants to improve himself, you give him tochacha. That's what Rav Abba is basing his statement on, that it's a chova, an obligation sometimes, not to go and say tochacha. And finally, from Rabbi Eloy, Mishum Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, we have another statement from Rabbi Eloy in the name of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Mutar lo liadam lishanos bidvar hasholom. A person is permitted to change the truth. Post we have a whole discussion, how much you'll have to change. Have to be a shtickle of the truth at least, or can it be a total outright falsehood if you're doing it for the purposes of shalom? If a person's wife asks him, does this dress make me look fat? So the proper response, even if you think otherwise, is no, honey, you look great. Now, you're allowed to be mishana, bidvar hashalom. A person is allowed to go and say a lack of 100% honesty in order that there should be shalom. Where do we see this from? So one of the sources that we see this from, Shenemar, it's from Yosef's brothers. After the Shvatim, the Shiftei Kah, saw that Yaakov Avinu died, they said, now Yosef, he's been waiting all these years to, whoa, give it to us. Well, father was alive, well, Yaakov Avinu was alive, he held back. But now that Yaakov Avinu is no longer there, he's going to come and give us our due. So they said to him a falsehood. They said, Shenemar, Avicha Tziva V'Gomer. They went to Yosef HaTzadik, and the pasuk says, Vayitzavu El Yosef Lemor, Avicha Tziva Levnei Moso Lemor, Kosomu Li Yosef. This is what Dad told us to tell you. On a son of Pesha Achecha, the Chatosom, Kiro Gimalucha, Yatoson of Pesha, Abdel Ki Avicha, Vayev Yosef, Bidabrom Elov. So they told Yosef that Dad had told us to apologize to you, so to say, for everything that we did to you. We did you wrong, and please forgive us. And Yosef cried that his father was choshesh him, that he in fact did something, that he would go and take vengeance against his brothers when he never would have done so. So in any event, you see, Avicha Tziva, they said that father commanded us. That never occurred. And therefore, and I read the end of the pasuk, that's Kosom Yosef, Ono Son Nova Gomer. So the bottom line is that you can see you can be mishana b'dvar hashalom. You can be mishana the words for peace, for shalom bayis. Rabbi Nosson Omer, he says, not only are you allowed to, mitzvah, you should do so. And where do we see this? We see this from the famous Maisa, when Shmuel goes to coronate, to go and anoint David HaMelech to become the new king, even while Shaul HaMelech is still alive and is the king of all Malchus Yisrael. So Shmuel says, if I do this, you know, it's going to be dangerous. Vayomer Shmuel, Ech Elech, V'shama Shaul, V'argeni, V'gomer. He says, how can I possibly go and anoint David HaMelech to be the king while Shaul is the king? He's going to hear and he's going to kill me. So what does Hashem say? Vayomer Hashem, Eglatz boch or tikach biyodecha. That's the conclusion of the pasuk. V'yamartu lizboch l'Hashem bosi. Hashem tells him, if anybody asks you, what are you doing here around David? You say, listen, we're going to bring korbanos. And therefore, while that's true, it's not a lie. Hashem said, go and bring korbanos. That wasn't the real reason why he was here. So you see, you're allowed to be mishana. And not only that, it's a mitzvah to be mishana in order that there should be peace, that there shouldn't be lack of shalom bayis. Furthermore, the Vei Rabbi Yishmael, in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael, taught her, they learned the following braisa. Godol HaShalom, look how great it is to maintain Shalom Bayis. Sha'af HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God himself, Shinabo, God himself, so to say, uttered a lack of emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is emes, right? His chasima is emes. And yet, for preserving Shalom Bayis, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're allowed to be Mishana a little bit, or some even say a lot, for Shalom Bayis. Why? Where do we see this? From Avram and Sarah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the Malachim to Avram and Sarah to notify them that they will have a child, that they will have Yitzhak Avinu. So originally, Sarah said, the Me'ekorak Siv, that Sarah laughed. And she said, Vatitzach Sarah b'kiboli mar, she laughed. Acharei v'losi, haizuli adna. After I have become an old lady, I'm suddenly become premenopausal again. I'm suddenly going to have children, potentially have children. Not only that, v'adoni zokein. My husband, Avram, is old. So she says, v'adoni zokein. And then, l'besov k'siv, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Avram Avinu, v'yem Hashem el Avraham, lo mazet zocha k'sora. He tells Avram, why did Sarah laugh? That she said, I'm an old lady and I won't be able to give birth. Is it below my power to go and give her an ability to have children even at the ripe old age of 90? When Hashem speaks to Abram, he didn't say, that your wife said that you're old. He said that Sarah said that she is old. Now, again, some suggest that, depending on how you read the previous pasuk, Acharei Belosi Hoysuli Adna, that she really was saying Ani Zakanti, but the bottom line is that she didn't actually say that. She said V'Adoni Zakein, and even HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvod V'Atzmo was willing to state something that wasn't absolutely what she said in order to preserve Shalom Bayis. Again, you see from here the tremendous importance of preserving Shalom Bayis, especially in a marriage. Gemara continues and quotes the Mishnah. It gives us the opinion of Yochanan Baruch Omer that women are also obligated to the mitzvah peruvu, priya v'rivia, priya v'rivia. Itmar, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shuman Levi. We have a machlok between Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shuman Levi. Chan Omar, one of them says, that loch is Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Broker. We don't know yet which one, but one of the two, either Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shuman Levi, says, we in fact paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Broker, the women are obligated. And the other one said, v'chan Omar, in a loch, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Broker, like we in fact paskin like the Chachamim. Now, let us prove, the Gemara says, Tistayim, I'll show you a raya, the Rav Yochanan, who the Omar ain halocha, ki Rav Yochanan ben Broka. The Rav Yochanan was the opinion that says we don't paskin like Rav Yochanan ben Broka, we paskin like the Chachamim. I'm suggesting that the reason why you need specifically to say that halocha is not like Rav Yochanan ben Broka, because he brought down a pasuk, and as we pointed out previously, while we normally paskin like a rabbim over a yochid, if the yochid has a very good svara, a very good rationale, so then you sometimes need to state that even in this case, the halocha is like the rabbim. So that's why it was Rav Yochanan who said that the ein halacha ki Rav Yochanan ben Broka. I'll show you that this is right. The Gemara says, the Yosef Rabbi Yavo, once Rabbi Yavo was sitting down, the Kama Mishmei the Rav Yochanan, and he said over in the name of Rav Yochanan, the halacha is like Rav Yochanan ben Broka. Halacha ki Rav Yochanan ben Broka. That's what he said. Now, Rabbi Yavo was sitting in the presence of two great Amoraim, first generation Amoraim from Eretz Yisrael, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, but they were not interested in directly confronting Rabbi Yavam because they held him in such high respect. And therefore, when he said that the halacha in the name of Rabbi Yochanan is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, they just turned aside. Vadrinu Rabbi Ami v'Ravasi la'payu. They turned away from Rabbi Yavam. So he would get the message in a subtle way that they disagreed with him and that Rabbi Yochanan did not say that. So therefore, you see from this Maisa that Rav Yochanan holds Ein Halacha Rav Yochanan Broka based upon Rav Ami and Rav Asi's response. That's version one. Version two, Vika Diamre, that it wasn't Rabbi Avohu, it was Rabbi Chia Bar Abba who said this, and he was the one that said, Omar, the Halacha in the name of Rav Yochanan is like Rav Yochanan ben Broka, and Vadrinu Rav Ami Rav Asi Lapayu. And here it was that Rav Ami and Rav Asi turned away. Now the Gemara is going to question, while they held Rabbi Avohu in tremendous esteem, they didn't have the same relationship with Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, and they would have had no problems if this version is correct in telling him you are wrong. And that's not what Rav Papa says. Amar Rav Papa, Bishlam Laman Di Amar Rabbi Yavohu, according to the first version that it was Rabbi Yavohu was the one that said incorrectly that Rabbi Yochanan holds Halacha like Rabbi Yochanan Broka. So we understand, Bishum Kvod Be Kesar, that Rabbi Yavohu was held in very high esteem in the royal palace, so Lo Amrule Velo Midi. So they didn't want to confront him, else covered over here to Rabbi Yavohu. But Ella, Laman Diyama Rav Chia Bar Abba Amora. So according to the second version, that it's Rav Chia Bar Abba was the one that made this incorrect statement that Rav Yochanan holds that the Halach is like Rav Yochanan Bar Broka. So why did they confront him? Lame Rulate, they should have, Rav Ami and Rav Asi should have said, you are wrong. Lo Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi. They should have said, no, in fact, Rav Yochanan didn't hold like that. Okay, so Rav Papa says the first version is more accurate. How do we paskin? My Havi Allah. Do we paskin halacha is like the Chachamim or like Rav Yochanan Bar Broka? Toshma, we'll bring you right from the following Maisa. Yomar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, Rav Acha Bar Chanina said, in the name of Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rav Asi, he said, in the name of Rabbi Avo, in the name of Rav Asi, Uv the Havi Kameh Rav Yochanan, there once was a Maisa Shoyi that came to Rav Yochanan, and it occurred, Bechnishta the Kesari, it occurred in the base Medrash, in the base Knesset of Kesaria. The Gemara refers to Kesaria as Kesari. And the Omar Yotzi V'Yitengsuba, and Rav Yochanan Paskin that the husband has to divorce his wife in this situation, and he's obligated to give her a ksuba. How does that prove anything? The Gemara says V'Yisal Kadaitach Lo Mifkida. If in fact you were to say that the woman is not obligated in pru avo, so then ksuva mayavidite. If the woman is arguing, I need to be divorced so I can have children with my second husband. They lived together for 10 years and they didn't have children. So the woman says to Basin, I demand the divorce, I demand my ksuba so I can go marry a second husband and have children because I'm obligated in the midst of pru avo. Now, if that's not the case, in fact, if we don't say that we pass like Rav Yochanan Broka, so why didn't Rabbi Yochanan say, listen, you have no mitzvah of getting married. Your husband's willing. He has children already. So your husband has children. So he's not being abstaining from the mitzvah period of Rivia. So therefore, he doesn't have to divorce you. From the fact that Rabbi Yochanan said, he has to divorce you and give you a ksuba, we can bring a raya here that Rabbi Yochanan, in fact, paskin like halacha, like Rabbi Yavohu had said, like Rav Chia Bar Abba had originally said, that the halacha is, Rabbi Yochanan holds the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Of course, it's not so fast. Dilma, you know what could be over here? Dilma, Bibo, Machmas Taina. No, she actually has another Taina why she needs to go and have children. Not because of the mitzvah, to fulfill the mitzvah, like Rabbi Yochanan Broka says, a period of Arivia, but because she wants to have children to support her in her old age. And we have a similar Maisuki Haida, Soila Kameda Ravami. One time, a woman came to Ravami, also the same Taina, we've been married for 10 years. Don't have children. I demand my husband divorce me and give me a ksuba so I can go marry somebody else and have children. So the Maisa goes that Armale, this woman says to Rav Ami, Habli ksuba, make this man go and give me a ksuba because I want him to divorce me and pay my ksuba. So Amalah, zeal. So Rav Ami says to her, no, leave the Beis Din, lo mifkadita. You have no mitzvah of a period of Arivia. And for whatever the reason, he already has children, let's say, so he doesn't have to divorce you. So she says back to Rav Ami, and what am I going to do when I get older? When I get older, what's going to happen to me? To this woman. In other words, when I get old, who's going to take care of me? Oh, based upon this, Amar Ravami, Ravami says, Ki ho avadei kofino. And in this situation, you have a valid taina, and the husband can be forced to give you a divorce because you need to have children to take care of you in your old age. They didn't have Medicare. They didn't have all sorts of social services. If the woman didn't have a child, who would take care of her in her old age? Again, another Maisa Shoya is saying the exact same thing. Haydi asoy lekameh de Rav Nachman. Another woman came with the exact same story. They were married for 10 years, and they didn't have children, and she came to Rav Nachman to say, I want my husband to divorce me, and I want him to give me a ksuba. So he's not able to have children. I realize I misspoke before, so I have the opportunity now to change it, that when I said that the husband wasn't mechuyev in period of rivi, no, the husband was incapable of having children. Not that he had children already. He was incapable of having children. That's the maisa over here. He wasn't capable of having children, and therefore he couldn't go and divorce her. He didn't have to divorce her because he knew he was an akar. And therefore, even if he married 10 other women, he wouldn't have children. So here, the wife is tining, I need to have children. I didn't know that you're an akar, and I need to have a divorce and get married to somebody else. So that's the tine in the previous case as well as over here. So again, Rav Nachman tells her, I'm a law. You don't have the mitzvah, pru avo. So therefore, you can't demand a divorce and your ksuba. And again, she says to him, doesn't this woman need to have a cane to support her? In other words, a son to support me in my old age. And moral ikvura means a shovel, a hoe to go and dig the dirt for my grave. In other words, I need a child to support me in my old age, just like the first story. And in this situation, Rav Nachman said, oh, you're talking right. Amar kiha vade kofinan. In such a situation, we will in fact demand that the first husband give you a divorce and that you should go and marry a second husband that you can have children to support you in your old age. Now the Gemara tells us a fascinating story. Yehuda v'chizkiah ta'omim hayu. Yehuda and Chizkiah, who were the sons of Rabbi Chia, were twins, but they weren't typical twins. Echad nigmarot tzurasulus of Tisha, the echad nigmarot tzurasul l'tchila shiva. They had two different gestation periods. We've mentioned previously that in the times of the Gemara, there was a perfectly normal 7-month gestation period, which could really mean 6 months plus 2 days. And there was a normal 9-month gestation period. They had no 8-month gestation. They couldn't survive. They were considered premature, but they paradoxically had this 7-month gestation period. And that's exactly what happened with Yehuda and Chizkiah, the sons of Rabbi Chia, that in fact, they had different gestation periods. And the Gemara in Nida tells us the fascinating thing that it says, She nishtaha achron achar arishon gimlu chadashim. They didn't come out at the same time. They were twins. They were inside the mother for 6 overlapping months, but then the first child was born at a 7-month gestation, 6 months and a day or two, and then the other child stayed behind inside the mother's belly until 9 months gestation was complete. So this was obviously quite a difficult pregnancy for her. And Yehudis Devisu de Rechia, the woman who carried these two children, Yehuda and Chizkiah, the wife of Rabbi Chia, her name was Yehudis, and Havalot Tsar Leida. She had great difficulty with the labor. Again, it's a very unusual situation. Incidentally, medically, there are reports of twins being born a month apart. I don't think we have a case that were being reported 3 months apart, but there actually are cases where twins have been born at slightly different times. In any event, so this caused her a tremendous amount of pain, Havilot Tsar Leida, and Shanai Mana, so she changed her clothing to ask her husband, the Shaila. He wouldn't recognize it was her. She obviously must have been so tsanua that her husband recognized her only by certain clothing and wouldn't necessarily recognize her by appearance. So in any event, Va'asila Kameh de Rabbi Chia. So she went to her husband, Rabbi Chia, to ask him the Shaila. In Armor, she asked him, is a woman obligated in the mitzvah of period of Arivia? It's a mifkada a period of Arivia or not? So her husband paskin, no, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. We paskin like the Chachamim and Omar Lolo. So what did she do? Asla, she went, Ishtaya Sama de Akarta. She drank some sort of a potion. She drank a ingredient that would make her sterile. And she ultimately, Sof Iglaya Milsa, ultimately became known to Rav Chia. The Mesos HaShah says that the proper gear should be is Gayale. She told him what she did. And he said to her, Amala, Iku Yolati Li Chodo Kresa Achrita. Oh, if only you had given birth to me another Kresa Achrisa, another womb's worth of children. So why was he calling them a womb's worth of children? Because he actually had two sets of twins from her. Two boys, Chizkiah and Yehuda. And he also had twin girls from her. The Omar Meir, as the Gemara explains, he had two boys, after he had the two girls, Yehuda v'Chizkiya Ache, they were the two twins that we just mentioned. But previous to that, he had two girls whose names were Pozi v'Tovi. And we turn to Samach Vav and Aleph, Achvasa. They were the twin sisters they had before. And it doesn't mention anything in the Gemara that they were an unusual pregnancy. They were probably a standard pregnancy, both coming out at the same time. So he told his wife, I wish you had given me another womb full, in other words, another set of twins. That would have been great. Okay. Now the Gemara says, is it really true? We've paskin already that the halachas like the chum that women are not obligated in Peruvu. But the Gemara says, really, below Mifkadi, is it true that the women aren't really obligated in the mitzvah Peruvu? V'amar Rav Acha bar Rav Ketina, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Rav Acha, who's the son of Rabbi Ketina, said the name of Rav Yitzchak, Ma'isa b'isha achas shechetz yoshivcha v'chetzis b'aschorin. There once was a woman who had had two masters originally, and one of the masters freed her, so now she was a half-freed slave woman, and the other half was still a slave woman. So she was a chetzia shivcha, chetzia baschorin. So the chof was rabba, and the chachamim, the beisdin, they forced her master, rabba here means master, basor baschorin. They forced the master who still owned her to free the second half. Now we had this machlokas previously between Meshama and Beis Hillel, who discussed this and said that we forced the master to go and free the slave because he can't marry a slave and he can't marry a freed woman. So in that situation, we forced the Baal, who the remaining ownership of the half of a man's slave, the half Eved Kanani, to go and free the rest of this half of the Eved Kanani. So here too, the Kof was Rabba, Vasor Baschor. They made him into Baschor. Now, why did they do this? Wasn't it because she couldn't get married and she couldn't fulfill the mitzvah of Piri of Erivia? So therefore, isn't it a raya that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is correct? The Gemara says, no, that wasn't the reason. Omer of Nachav Yitzchak, the reason was, Minog Hevker Nabuba. This woman never couldn't get married. She couldn't get married to a free man because of the half part of her that was a Shivcha Kenani still. She couldn't get married to an Eved Kenani because of the half part of her that was a Baschorin. So therefore, she never couldn't get married. So people ended up treating her with disrespect. And she had nobody to protect her, so to say. So she was, unfortunately, Hefker Naguba, and she was promiscuous. So therefore, the rabbi said, go and free her, so hopefully she'll marry a husband, and the husband will keep watch over her, and she'll be in a good relationship, and she won't have to go around, and Rachmona Lislan do things that are wrong. With this, we conclude the beautiful sixth perek, Haba Yevimto, Hadron Alech, Haba Yevimto, Hadron Alech, Haba Yevimto, Hadron Alech, Haba Yevimto, Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow we'll start the seventh perek. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody.